there is one or two portions that you have after him, and we'll commence in Leviticus chapter 5. Now, there's quite a bit of reading in connection with this trespass session, and we'll just read a verse here and there throughout the chapter. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and he is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. Verse 7 speaks about the turtle dove if he be not able to bring a lamb or a kid. Verse 11 speaks of the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour if he be not able to bring the turtle doves. Now verse 14. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. Now, verse 17, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity, and he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation. Now chapter 6. For the trespass offering goes on to verse 7 in chapter 6. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or have deceived his neighbour, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned, and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violent away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. Now, just one or two verses in Numbers chapter 15. I trust just to round off these simple studies and the offerings by touching a little on the drink offering and a little on the wood offering. Numbers 15, just the first five verses. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, that's the peace offering, of course, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savour unto the Lord, of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meal offering of a tenth deal of fine flour, that's about 6 pints according to our dry measure, fine flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil, and a fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering, shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. And then it goes on to describe the other offerings and the amounts that shall be brought. Now one verse in Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. Verse 34. This is Nehemiah speaking, And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people, for the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. And if your God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now we find that the trespass offering is the last of the Levitical offerings. Now it's most interesting. There are many points in which it corresponds with the sin offering. But there are other details which are brought in the trespass offering which are not found in the sin offering. Now we find the trespass offering commences in chapter 5, verse 1, and goes on to chapter 6, verse 7. And we'll find that in these verses, there are three outstanding sections. Now could I just very simply go through those three sections with you? It's just about as simple as I can make it. Now, chapter 5, from verse 1, to verse 4 is sin against oneself. Sin against oneself. And then verse 5, we have confession. That is always necessary. If one has to know forgiveness of sins, there must, of necessity, be confession. The very fact that the offender in chapter 4 placed his hand upon the head of his sin offering tells me this, that was along with confession. And so verse 5 speaks about confession. Now from verse 6 to verse 13 we have his offerings. First of all, it's the trespass offering, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats. In verse 7, if he can't afford the lamb, then two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if he can't reach to that, God makes provision, and in verse 11, he brings the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. But please note that in these offerings, there is no oil, there is no frankincense. It is a non-sweet savour offering. So there is no oil and there is no frankincense. Now so much for sinning against oneself. Now from verse 14 to the end of the chapter, it is sin through ignorance in the holy things. In the holy things. Now probably I could make just a wee bit distinction. One of the paragraphs dealing with the sin offering is sins against the holy things. This is not sins against, this is sins in. This is one particular case where a brother engaged in the holy things, and he sins in the holy things of the Lord. So he's guilty, and he must of necessity bring the offering corresponding to his trespass. Then, of course, here's something else of a similar nature from verse 17. And, of course, he must bring his ram without blemish. So he sins against himself, the beginning of the chapter. Verse 14 onwards, he sins in the holy things of the Lord. Now, chapter 6, from verses 1 to 7, here is trespass against his neighbour. Trespass against his neighbour. And of course, that demands just the very same trespass offering plus. To me, the great lesson from these things is this. It's a very costly business for one of these folks to trespass. It's a costly business. Now look, when we touch the sin offering, be it priest, the congregation, the ruler, or one of the common people, he brought his sin offering, and that was it. That was it. But when we come to the trespass offering, it's something different. He must bring his offering to the Lord. And that could cost him more or less. But more. The priest had to declare his estimation. And he had to bring to the priest his estimation in shekels of silver. But it was after the shekel of the sanctuary. Everything was according to the standard of God. Not anything would do. Oh no, everything was measured according to the standard of God. So he brought the priest's estimation of his trespass in shekels of silver plus a fifth part. That was two tithes, wasn't it? Not simply one. That was two tithes. So you see the costly business to the person who would sin against the Lord and the holy things of the Lord. His trespass offering, the ram. The priest's estimation of it in shekels of silver plus one fifth part. Now let's look at the first portion of our chapter, chapter 5, from verses 1 down to verse 13. Now possibly we should make a little distinction between what we have here in chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 19. What do we have in Numbers chapter 19? We have the truth of the red heifer. And what is the ashes and the water of the red heifer for? It's for defilement. For defilement. What's the difference between Leviticus 5 and Numbers 19? Just this. Leviticus 5 tells me concerning the person who touches things that are actually unclean in themselves. Now notice how that word is emphasized in these opening verses. It's the unclean, the touching or coming into contact or, shall I say, fellowship with those things that are unclean. Unclean in themselves. But when we touch Numbers chapter 19, these things are not necessarily unclean. If a man's walking through the field and he inadvertently touches a bone, the bone in itself is not necessarily unclean, but the man becomes defiled. So here it's trespass offering. In Numbers 19, it's defilement. Isn't that why that the Lord placed between the burnt altar, the altar of burnt offering, and the door of the tent, the laver? You see, the priest, from the time he left his tent until he touched the altar, he might contract defilement. He could touch a bone. There are one or two other things that he could inadvertently touch. And so the Lord made provision for that. And he set up the laver. The laver. How necessary is that in our present day exercise? Paul touches it very, very beautifully yonder in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. We must take time, prior to us coming to the breaking of bread meeting, to examine ourselves. A failure to do that may incur the judgment of God. He did it in the church in Corinth. He can do it today in many ways. In many ways. Oh, how strict we should be with ourselves. Now look at Leviticus chapter 5. Verse 1 opens out with a man who knows certain things, and he's called upon to give testimony concerning these, but he fails. What would they call that in court today? Contempt of court? Very serious thing, you know. Very serious thing. And so the man is guilty, and he bears his guilt. He bears his guilt. Now there are certain unclean things enumerated here. Unclean cattle, unclean beasts, or even an unclean person. What does the Lord say? Well, coming into contact with that, we are verily guilty. We must of necessity confess and bring the necessary trespass offering. Or the third is this, if we swear pronouncing with our lips either to do evil or to do good, and do it not. We do it not. Probably the most outstanding case of this is in Mark chapter 6. You remember the feast was made. Herod made the feast. And there were a dancing girl yonder, and she pleased him that day. And he was so overcome, he says, to the half of my kingdom, you'll get it. And, of course, a little talk with her mother, the head of John the Baptist. That's it. That's an example of this verse in Leviticus chapter 5. Many others are recorded in the book. What's next? Oh, I must confess. Must confess. My brethren, today, there is no forgiveness, not for me, nor you, apart from confession. God just does not shake hands and call quits. No, no. There must of necessity be confession. And following confession, there is forgiveness. So that's what it says here. And right through all these non-sweet savour offerings, we must of necessity have the confession. What does that tell me? Just this. That particular person has become really aware of the trespass he has committed. He's become really aware that he's committed a trespass against himself, against the Lord in the holy things, or against his neighbor. So the trespass offering, and God has made provision for that. He has made provision for that. Thank God for that. And so he brings his trespass offering, a female, a lamb, or a kid of the goats. Now what's done with it? Now as you'll see here, he does with it as he has done before with the sin offering. Exactly the same. The fat is taken, certain internal organs, and they are burnt upon the burnt offering in the altar of burnt offering. And then the rest. You see, what happens to this trespass offering? What happens to it? It's not burned without the camp. Oh no, because the blood never was taken into the holy place. So the priest must associate himself with the eating of this offering, so that the priest has to feel the effect of the trespass on the company. And so the priest has to eat it.
Here we are, as he did, so he eats. So he eats. All that was on the offer, all that was on the altar, God's part. The priest's part, what was not burning or on the altar, was for the priest.
So this trespass offering wasn't put on the altar. The fat, of course, and the certain organs of the inwards, yes. But the blood was not taken into the holy place, so it cannot be burned without the calf. It was eaten. I feel today that when there's sin committed, when there's trespass committed, what a far-reaching effect it has among the people of God. We have no idea of the far-reaching effect of that on the company of God's believing people, how careful we should be. How careful we should be.
Oh, we know that the Lord God has set up provision for us in the offering of His Son. And they all point to the cross.
That's where God in Christ made provision for all these things. They find their answer in the life and the death of Christ upon the cross. They culminate there. Everyone. And so he brings his offering. If he can't bring faith from the flock, then he brings his turtle doves. Now we touched that at the close of the sin offering on Thursday evening. He brings the two. Why the two? You see, the first one, its head was nipped off, it was stripped of its feathers, the crop was taken, the blood applied to the altar, that was burned upon the altar of burnt offering. Now that would correspond to the fat of the other offerings, the animal offering. It would correspond to God having the first portion of all our offerings. And then the other was taken, its head was pinched off, the blood applied to the altar, feathers stripped, crop taken, and that was burned. That was for the sin or the trespass off. And then the flower. If he could not touch that, then the flower. Tenth part of an ephah, about 6 pints, no oil, no frankincense. No. God is not associated. His name is not associated with sin or trespass. Christ died for that undoubtedly. No oil, no frankincense. The priest takes his handful, places upon the burnt altar, and that again would correspond to the fat of the animal, to the first portion for God, and the priest had the rest as in the gift offering. And so here's the man now who sins, shall we say, against himself. How careful we should be in our walk. How careful we should be what we hear, what we see, more careful what we do, more careful what we do. Now, sins in the holy things. Now, you'll notice it's not sins against. I could sin against and yet not touch it. But here's the man who's really in things. He's trespassing in the holy things. I take it that the man that is associated with the holy things should have the clearer knowledge of the holy things. You see, the priest's lips should keep knowledge in Malachi 2. And we find a verse here too in the book of the Proverbs that would tell us just the very same thing. Just the very same thing. So here's a man, and he's associated with the holy things. What holy things? Ah, you see, there were holy things associated with the tabernacle. There are holy things today associated with God's people. Holy things today. God has principles to be maintained. And those of us in assembly fellowship are associated in these things, not so much with them as in them. Oh, with them too, but we're in them. We're in them. And God expects something better from those who are in assembly fellowship. So here's the person who's associated in these things, and he transgresses in them. Possibly we have an illustration of that in John's third epistle. Here's a man who loved to have the preeminence, and what havoc he wrought among the saints of God. Oh, he transgressed all right in the holy things. He transgressed all right in the holy things. What's it to do? His transgression is brought to his notice. He brings a ram. Ah, you see, it's not a female this time. Oh no, we're dealing in the holy things of God. Among the highest. The active members of the animals. He has to bring a ram. Without blemish, of course. Thy estimation of shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, makes amends, and then he adds the fifth part. A costly business, isn't it, for one to sin in the holy things of the Lord? He's at the loss of his ram, the estimation of silver, plus a fifth part. Plus a fifth part. Ah, Christ was our trespass offer. And I like to read Psalm 69, trespass offering psalm. And there we read those beautiful words, he restored that he took not away. That's the trespass offering. He restored that he took not away. Here's this man who's sinning in the holy things, his ram. The priest's estimation of silver in shekels of the sanctuary, plus a fifth part. Ah, it's cost a lot, isn't it? Probably if the person had been a little more careful, this would not have been necessary. And I feel the same lesson should be borne home to our hearts today. If we were just a little more careful in things, we would not have to have recourse to the Lord as the advocate. Thank God for the provision. But God expects us to move on in a path that is pleasing to him. And so he has made provision for us in the trespass offering. But we find this, the different trespass has different costs to the trespasser. So he brings his ram, silver plus a fifth part. Now the next part is a ram without blemish. It makes atonement, and his sin is forgiven. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Let us ever remember, my brethren, be it trespass or sin, primarily it is against the Lord. Against the Lord. Even the prodigal son of Luke 15 understood that. Whenever he came back, he says, I sinned against heaven and against thee. Not against thee in heaven. Oh no, against heaven and against thee. Oh, if we would just consider that. Remember, heaven's looking on. And our trespass, our sin, is against God. Oh, it may be against myself. It may be against my brother. Or against the law. It's all against him. All against him. And he feels it very, very deeply. And he's made this provision. Now we go into chapter 6. What do we find? Here's a man now who sins against his neighbour. And you'll notice there are 6 things mentioned. And these things are rather serious. What does he do? He lies unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep. In other words, he's betrayed his trust. He has betrayed his trust. Or in fellowship, they put their hand to things, and he fails to carry out the obligation. Or in a thing taken away by violence. No, no, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Or have deceived his neighbour. or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it. No, no, we mustn't keep that we find. It doesn't belong to us. And sweareth falsely. No, we must be very, very guarded in our lips. Very guarded. Very guarded. No, no, we must not swear by heaven or earth. God's taking account. God's taking account. We touched that a little in the opening verses of chapter 5. But in all these things, sinning therein, then, first of all, now notice the difference this time. First of all, he makes it right with his brother. He restores that he took violent away or so on. He shall even restore it in the principle and add the fifth part thereto. So the man is more than repaid for that is lost. And of course, that's perfectly correct. That's perfectly right. He should receive amends for the loss that he has sustained. And this is the way. Aye, but more than that. He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. A ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation. Aye, notice, he's doubly paying this time. He's to restore to the man his possession. He's to add the fifth part thereto. He's to bring his ram, plus the priest's estimation of that. Oh, this is a more costly business, isn't it? Oh, my brethren, could I stress the care that's necessary in our walk here upon earth? Our dealings with our brethren. Fellowship is a thing that is the very life of saints. Let us cherish it. Let us do everything to help it. Let us do nothing to hinder it. Oh, let us cherish that beautiful thing called fellowship. Here's the man that hasn't cherished that among his brethren. He pays sore, doesn't he? Ah, he pays sorely for this. And so we come to the end of this bit. The priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Ah, you see, what the ram did for him, Christ has accomplished for us. All these offerings have their final and true accomplishment in heaven. We know that these things fall short. Not Christ. Not Christ. There's no failure in him. There's no shortcoming in him. And there's no failure at the end of the path. Christ was as pleasing to God in his death as what he was in his life. And so, it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he has done more than made it good. He's added the fifth part thereto. I trust that as we consider these things, at the end here, he is our trespass offering, as he is our sin offering. He has made it all good with his God and Father. And as our brother said in his prayer, our sins which are past, all our sins which are future, have all been dealt with. Not cast behind his back into the sea of his forgetfulness. Oh no. Just not true. Every one was fully atoned for when Christ died upon the cross. And when Christ died, all my sins were future, as yours. Nevertheless, he made atonement, and he made amends, and we can come in the good of that now. Now, just a few words on the drink offering. The drink offering was a necessary part of the burnt offering. Read about it as we did in Numbers chapter 15. But to get the full weight of the drink offering, we must read Numbers chapter 28 and 29. Now we find this, that every burnt offering, as is outlined in these chapters, had its corresponding gift offering and its corresponding drink offering. Now notice how beautifully God sets out things. If he's offering a lamb, he takes 1/10 deal of fine flour. If it's a ram, it's 2/10 deals of fine flour. If it's a bullock, it's 3/10 deals of fine flour. Again, if it's a lamb, it's 1/4 hin of oil. A ram, 1/3 hin of oil. A bullock, 1/2 hin of oil. And these ingredients beautifully mixed up will make a beautiful consistency of things. So every burnt offering, it says when you come into the land, every burnt offering must have its corresponding gift offering. The simple meaning is this, that Christ must of necessity live before he dies. There's no death for anybody that's never started to live. No. So the life and the death go together. As one used to say, the life gives touch and colour to the death, and the death gives value to the life. So it had its corresponding gift, a drink of, a meal of. Now we come to the drink of, and you'll notice this, that the exact amount of oil for a lamb corresponded to the wine for the drink offering. So that for a lamb, we had 1/4 hin of wine. For a ram, 1/3 hin of wine. And a bullock, 1/2 hin of wine. So you see that the corresponding weights and measures were given to correspond with the animal that was to be offered. What would that tell me? Just this. Here was this desperate life. It was energized, guided and controlled by the Spirit of God. But we find, for the drink offering corresponded exactly to that. Exactly to that. In his life, perfection. In his death, perfection. The same greed, right through. In the Lord's life, there was nothing outstanding. Everything was outstanding in the same measure. You read Exodus chapter 30, the sweet incense, all the ingredients of like measure. So there was the drink offering. Well, what is the drink offering? The drink offering is a pouring out of all that is precious to the heart, and that for the glory of God. Now we have one or two instances in the scripture. You remember Jacob, when he left his father's home, he lighted on a certain place that night, and in the morning he called it Bethel, the house of God. And he reared up the stone which was for his pillow, and he anointed it. Possibly Jacob never knew the import of that, but he did it. When he's on his backward journey, he comes to a little place called Jabbok. He's left alone there with the angel of the Lord. And the meaning of the word Jabbok is empty. Poor old Jacob was emptied of all that he possessed as Jacob. Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, says the Lord. Thy name shall be Israel. Jacob, a prince among men, but Israel, a prince of God. And so poor old Jacob was stripped of all that spoke of Jacob that night at Jabbok. We come to David. 2 Samuel 23. And David has a thought. Oh, he would like to drink to the waters of the wells of salvation. There were three men, and they went through the host of the Philistines. They drew the water. They brought it back to David. And he says, how can I drink of this? The blood of these men who have jeopardized their lives. And he poured it out. A drink offering unto his God. And there are many instances right through the book. When we come to Philippians chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read concerning the Apostle Paul. And he said, I am now being poured out. Or in 2 Timothy 4 it says, I am already being offered or poured out. And so here was one who followed the example of his Lord. Pouring out. But what about our Lord in Philippians chapter 2? are there behind the pouring out. Or as Isaiah so beautifully puts it in the last verse of chapter 53, he poured out his soul unto death. And here it was in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself. Ah, he poured out himself. Of what did he empty himself? Of his glory? Oh no. Of his deity? No. Of his power? No. What did he empty himself of? Nothing insofar as these things were concerned. He brought everything with him. His deity, his power, his glory, his love. What did he empty himself of? That there in it, Isaiah 53, he poured out his soul unto death. That was it. That was it. Poured out his soul unto death. Oh, that our poets had just grasped that. Instead of writing some of the rubbish that we find in some of our hymns. Good hymns spoiled by two lines. He emptied himself of nothing. But he poured out his soul unto death. And so we find this beautiful drink offering. Just another word though. We turn to Numbers chapter 28. And we find here that God gives a very striking word concerning this wine. It was to be strong wine. Did you ever read that word? It was to be strong wine. Ah, you see, the animals were to be without blemish. The flour was to be fine flour. It was to be pure oil olive. It was to be pure frankincense. And it was to be pure wine. No adulteration. No adulteration. It speaks the blood of our Lord poured out. So it must be strong wine. Strong right from the grape. Nothing added to adultery. Strong, pure wine, the book says. Strong wine. Where was it poured out? It doesn't say. It doesn't say in Numbers 28 verse 29, or even here in Numbers 15. But we can associate that scripture with different scriptures. When we touch Psalm 22, he talks there about being poured out like water. What's it associated there with? It's associated with his death. When we touch Isaiah chapter 53, he poured out his soul unto death. It's associated with death. And there are other scriptures equally impressive and telling us that the drink offering was associated with his death. It was in Numbers 15. It was to be brought and offered with the burnt offering. And so, I suggest that from these scriptures, the drink offering was poured out at the base of the altar. It couldn't be poured out any other place. It was associated with death, so it must be in the place of death. So here was our Lord, and he poured out his soul unto death. No obligation insofar as he was concerned. It was voluntary. Ah, like that about our Lord. It was voluntary. Everything was voluntary. While wicked men took him and by wicked hands slew him, we must ever remember it was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That was it, brother. And we'll never understand the cross until we realize that everything was in the purpose of God long before time began. Now just a little word about the wood offering. We don't read much about the wood offering, but we read much about the wood. When Abraham was bringing Isaac to the altar, we read in Genesis chapter 22 four times concerning the wood. In Leviticus chapter 1, it was the bounded duty of the priest to lay the wood in order. Now, any old way to throw the wood onto the altar would not do for God. Oh no, it must be in order. When Elijah made the altar yonder, you remember, with the prophets of Baal, he placed the stones and he placed the wood in order upon the altar. It must of necessity be in order. God is an orderly God. What does the wood speak of? It was not an integral part of the offering, but it was a necessary ancillary to it. It was not the offering, but without the wood, there would have been no fire. Without the fire, there would have been no burnt offering. So we find that the wood is necessary. And what would it correspond to today? Would it not correspond to the godly exercise of those who sought to touch the burnt offering on these occasions that we are gathered together? I think so. I think so. You see, when we gather together, we are moved by the Spirit of God. Assembly exercise is maintained and maintained only by oral ministry. So there must of necessity be that oral exercise as we come together to offer up. And so the Spirit of God moves in your heart and mine and moves us to express my thoughts, oh no, thoughts of the company. And so we bring our contribution of the wood offering. Now we only need to read through some of those parts to see how Moses and Aaron and Nehemiah and others looked upon the importance of the wood. But it must be placed in order. That's the great thing about the wood. It must be placed in order. I wonder, as we do gather together, have we much exercise concerning setting things in order? You see, in 1 Corinthians 14, God is not the author of confusion, but of order. As in all the assemblies of God, it's a great thing, my brethren, to enter into the godly order of things. Never mind the modern aspect of things. Into the godly order of things. The wood laid in order upon the altar. The fat made the fire burning up. The burnt offering, the fat and the inwards of the different offerings, the memorial of the gift offering, and it's able to be consumed by reason of the wood offering. I wonder, are we exercised in this? God making use of my natural gift in its place in the assembly among the saints to bring forth something that will be for the pleasure of God. You see, before the offerings could be made elsewhere, the cedars of Lebanon had to be cut down. And we read that wasn't sufficient to burn. We read in another place that one man gave his oxen for the offering and the implements for the fire. Ah, you see, here were men whose hearts were really touched. And who knew the importance of bringing the wood offering. May we never fail. May we never fail in our exercise concerning the wood offering. But let it be placed in order. Let it be placed in order. So I trust that our simple meditations of these offerings will just incite our hearts to read more and to study more and to see the great culmination of all these things in our blessed Lord portraying his walk and his work and finally his death upon the cross where he settled everything for God. Where it was indeed a sweet smelling savour, and yet he met you and I in our deep need. May we study, and may we gain more and more concerning this, because after all, brethren, we're going to live with him throughout all eternity. Shalom afresh.